Well, hi, everybody. It's May 17th, 2022. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And I hope you're listening and having a good day today on a beautiful day here in Maine where I live. Okay, maybe you're listening on the archives. We archive every show. So the weather could be different even here in Maine. All right, we archive every show at ace-ed.org. That's our home website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ace-ed.org. Please join with us. Go over there, click on the magazine cover of Equity and Access Pre-K-12, our online journal, and you'll enjoy a terrific issue. You can see all the stuff we do over there. You can click through to our new website, which is teacher-retention.com. We are real concerned about that. Throughout K-12, we have terrific professional learning. We have developed an offer now to school districts, and we have a lot of information over there as well. We really do want great teachers to stay in education. That's a key thing. So if you're a great teacher, please go over there, check it out. Tell your administrators, et cetera, whatever the case may be. We do care about you. We do care about the kids, and we care about them. We also have SELtoday.org, our Social Emotional Learning Resource Center website. We hope you check that out as well. We're starting to work with Castle these days, which is really exciting for us. All of our podcasts like this one are archived over there as well. So please check it all out at ace-ed.org. And the other thing is we have our Excellence in Equity Awards programs going on. You got to nominate yourself, colleagues, companies you work with, companies can nominate whatever, teachers they work with, et cetera, all that by June 30th. So you got plenty of time, but you can click through over there to, there's an icon and it says awards. Please go over there, check it out. Everything's at ace-ed.org. And we're going to go out to California right now. We're going to San Francisco. We just took off, and now we have landed, and we are talking to our good friends who work for Landmark Colleges Success Center, which is, although they're in Putney, Vermont, they developed this out in California, and in order to work there, you must have the initials SF, as we're going to find out. Okay? So it's amazing, and no one without the initials SF can even apply there. All right, so the Success Center for Landmark. This is terrible. Okay, so first of all, sorry for my coughing. We had this Sandra Fischler. Hi, Sandy. Hold on a second. Let me clear my throat.
Okay.
I started
morning,
to laugh,
Larry.
And I started to gargle. I am really sorry. Okay.
That's
okay.
Okay.
So, SF number one, Sandy Fischler. Hi, Sandy. How you doing?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thank you so much, Larry, for having us here this morning and giving us a chance to share about the Landmark College Success Center.
That's cool.
Located here in sunny California Bay Area.
Sunny,
and yes,
beautiful.
I do have the initials of SF.
And by the way, we're going to stop the show after half an hour because I'm going to go in and rob a Walgreens. So we'll be back.
Oh no, Emma!
Just kidding, Walgreens. Okay. And the other SF, Sarah Feierstein, is here. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah Feierstein. You were close.
This is Steve.
Yeah,
got it.
Importantly, you picked up on the SF.
The reason I say Feierstein is because literally my oldest and one of my best friends is a world-famous mm-hmm. professor of neuroscience at Columbia.
Yeah.
And that's Stu Feierstein, you know. So he wrote a book. Yeah. But he's a Feierstein. Okay, and I know you two aren't related because he would never say Steen. He always says Stein. Okay? But check out his book. Yeah. Everybody should look him up. His book, I'll give you the one that was called Failure.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. It's the most popular course at Columbia. Mm. And it's about how failure moves you forward. And it's really fun. He's a great guy. And he's a Feierstein, not a Feierstein. Okay.
It's more like Feiersteins are in the public. A lot of public educators that are Feiersteins.
Okay.
Not all of us made it.
It's the SFs of the world. All right, we've got the ball here today. So, you know, actually we brought up, this is interesting, out in beautiful California. Vermont's beautiful too. Putney's especially nice right near Brattleboro. It's beautiful out there, and, you know, about an hour south of Burlington, maybe an hour and a half south of Burlington, et cetera. I've been there. It's beautiful. They have great fried chicken in the cafeteria, I got to tell you. Okay. But aside from the beautiful campus and the great fried chicken, why is it out there in California? I'll ask SF number one, Sandra. Go ahead. Why is it in California when Landmark's in Vermont?
Yeah. Well, so what brought Landmark College here in California? Well, Landmark College has planted their flag here in California. You know, it's absolutely gorgeous in Putney. But here in the California Bay Area, many folks here have expressed interest in Landmark College, but they may or may not be ready to send their students to Vermont. So in response to that, our president, Dr. Peter Eden, developed plans to start with a success center in the California Bay Area to support the neurodiverse community. And so we are the first foray into, you've got expansion plans in the works to offer additional services locally.
You know, actually, it brings up an interesting point because so many colleges had to revert to online learning, okay? And then Putney, which is wonderful, and they have all the support and everything you need in the world up over in Putney, Vermont, which, again, is a lovely town. 5 minutes from Brattleboro, okay, so it's not like the middle of, actually, that might sound like the middle of nowhere, but it's really not to a lot of people. It's really a beautiful part of the world, okay, and a lot, there's stuff there, okay. Is the plan to, like, create a learning center, literally a learning center, that has I picture a bank of 1,000 computers and kids rolling in and taking their college courses and all that. What happens at the Success Center? And what's the game plan? And let's go to SF number two, Sarah Firestein. We'll get her chance.
Right. Well, I'll speak to what we're currently doing, and then I know that Sandra will want to add kind of the vision of how we're hoping to develop.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, people come to us, and I meet individually one-on-one with clients at this time, although I'm sure that, you know, Sandra could talk about how that's going to develop. And really, people come in a lot, and they are taking courses at their local community colleges or their four-year. I work some with high school students as well, and they're coming in. And,
Nice.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a learning center in, like, that traditional everyone's – it's like the big bank of, computers. But they are coming in, and they're working really hard kind of trying to shore up executive function skills to help them be able to manage their classes and the different sort of way that their courses are designed, again, whether it's high school or college. There's definitely folks that are coming, and they want to learn more about how they learn. They want to sort of – figure out the strategies and leverage, you know, kind of understanding their strengths and kind of really getting support to understand more about their challenges. Maybe they haven't had that, you know, the same access to such individualized attention.
Wait a minute, when you say they are coming, are these high school kids or college kids or people that might be in their 30s? Who's coming? Who is this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our clients right now kind of are run the gamut. I'm working currently with some high school students. A lot of them are juniors and seniors. I definitely work with some gap year students. So that ranges, right, from 18 kind of anywhere up to 22 we're seeing. And then the college, you know, there's the college age folks, and we even have a couple adults, in fact.
Good.
We have
a
couple adults that, have kind of recognized at different points that they're needing some other support around their neurodiversity. Yeah.
And by the way, I forgot to mention, we know each other so well. I forgot to mention, wait a minute. Landmark College is a college for neurodiverse students. Okay?
Correct.
And the kids, like, with autism and ADHD and all that sort of stuff. Okay? And they're great at making these kids successful. And it's a beautiful campus, and that's what we're talking about. We get so wrapped up in the fun of it, I forgot to mention that to everybody. For your neurodiverse students who want to go to college, okay?
Right.
Or if you know somebody, a parent said, okay, this is worth checking into. If you're on the West Coast, you can go to landmark.edu/successcenter, but you can just check landmark.edu, and you'll see pictures and learn about happy kids and successful kids and good teachers. Okay, you really were. It's a good college. There you go. That's my spiel. All right, let's go back. Okay. So
can I hand it off to Sandra, Larry?
No, not yet. Sarah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
want you to tell me what the Success Center literally, physically looks like. Is it just you guys at two phones? Okay. Are you homeless and you live in a tent under an underpass? What is the Success Center? What is it? Where is it? What is it? Tell. I want the physical layout. What is it?
Right. So we're connected to one of the independent high schools. It's a private high school that also works with students with learning differences. So they've taken us under their wing. They've given us an actual office space. So we're working, you know, we have one phone, but we don't. We have a small office in this nice, small, kind of really lovely school environment. So clients will come in. They'll come into the building at times, sometimes during the school day or after. We're available and at that site between Tuesday and Saturday. And then, of course, our location is also virtual because some of the clients, even, you know, a lot of our local folks don't necessarily want to kind of contend with the traffic or they just want to access the support, online. But, we're in a really nice kind of idyllic little setting in a small high school in San Mateo.
Very nice. And again, landmark.edu/successcenter. And this is really cool stuff. So tell me, all right, now we'll go back. What's the plans for the future? SF number one, Sandra.
Well, thank you for that. You know, Sarah is incredible.
You're welcome, number one.
Of course. Thank you. Well, you know, Sarah is an incredible learning specialist and does such a brilliant job providing.
She's still number two. Number two. I don't care how incredible she is. Okay, number one, go back to it. Yeah.
She has the good fortune of having the same initials, so we're good. But she's done an incredible job working with clients, you know, and really we're, again, like you mentioned, working with those neurodiverse teens, young adults and adults, and it's a very personalized experience, this one-on-one coaching that she provides. And it's in executive function coaching and academic support and transition to and through college skill building. So it's achieved, and the vehicle is really through a one-hour weekly session that in various formats, as Sarah just mentioned, either in person or online. Or I've seen Sarah work, you know, 1 week with a client online, and the next week they're working in person. So it's a hybrid model as well, and been really successful in doing that. And really, her the style that we bring to the peninsula are the learning strategies and tools to a non-directive strengths-based approach. And so you know, it's the role that the learning specialist takes on to be a facilitator in the learning process and really using the learner's agenda. And again, that's why it's so personalized to gain. So we help that individual gain agency and build their advocacy skills, which quite frankly is the hallmark of the Landmark College practices.
It is.
And pedagogy.
It is.
So, you know, we started off with this support and Success Center as a executive function coaching and support, but we are looking, again, as you mentioned a moment ago, to expand in our services, which is very exciting. So aside from the need in the community for these types of services, we're also looking to support the social pragmatic needs that are in the community as well. So we are taking steps to offer during the next academic year some social pragmatics experiences and potential groups. And so stay tuned on upcoming services there. So those are what we have currently in the works. But beyond that, I know that our president has long-term plans as well that he's been working on.
Good enough. Well, we'll get Peter on one day and ask him about that. Peter Egan, who is a lovely man, by the way, and really does a great job there. Okay, I know. I haven't seen
really
him after the pandemic. I haven't seen them over there in a long, long time. But I know they're keeping the fried chicken hot for me over at the cafeteria. I do know that. Okay. You know, let me ask, Sandra, stay with me. It's a Landmark College Success Center, and you guys have good motives, okay, for doing this. But is the goal to get these kids into college, make them college ready, make anyone college ready, okay? Or is the further goal to get them to go to Landmark? I mean, what I'm asking. Is it a recruit? Do you like to recruit them to cross the country and go to Landmark? That's what I'm asking.
It's an excellent question. Sure, it's an excellent question. And I believe Sarah alluded to this earlier that, you know, we work with students that, you know, they're going to maybe part of the local community college system. Maybe they're going off
exactly.
to a four-year college that's not Landmark College. So we have had a client of ours that has gone off to Landmark College, but that is not a requirement.
Good.
Absolutely not. So
yeah.
we do work, as she mentioned, even the gap year students. And so, and because, you know, individuals are in high school, they may or may not be college bound, but if they are,
exactly.
then we provide that support. So if they'd like to go to Landmark College, we want to help support them to their goal. But if their goal is to go somewhere else, we want to support them in that as well.
That is wonderful. And a little bit, which leads to the next question. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These young people, these kids, these students, if they go to a community college, and I am a huge fan of community colleges, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're terrific. But community
right.
college professors, okay, bless their hearts, okay, aren't necessarily trained in dealing with students who are neurodiverse, okay? And that's something maybe these kids have been used to, but when you in public school, it's one thing. We have a special ed department that can help. But the community colleges, I don't know if they do. How are you working with the community colleges to foster a real understanding of what they need to have these kids be successful? And that's important, especially to a community college. I hate to bring it down to this, but they get paid on their retention rate, okay? If
mm-hmm.
kids don't graduate, they get less money. And so it's a win-win if these kids do well at community college,
right.
hopefully go on to a four-year. Okay, I hate to be so pragmatic
mm-hmm.
about it. It's good to get a nice education and all that sort of thing. But
right.
there is a dollar thing going on here. What are you hearing? How do you work at all if you do?
Well,
and who should I ask, SF1 or 2?
Well, I'll tag in on that one first.
Okay.
This is Sarah.
Is that one or two?
Well,
is
I think
two?
That I
big.
Think this, is one, this is number two. This is number
Sarah.
Two.
Okay, good. Yes, yeah, Sarah, good.
So, I think that, again, I think that most schools, community college, four-year, otherwise, even though Landmark is kind of premier at what it does and the services provide,
yeah, they are.
All schools have a disability service office or, you know, it, in this day and age.
They're not
yeah,
as good
it's
as
very
Landmark.
Different.
I can tell
yeah,
you
no,
right
it's
off
not...
the bat. I'm going to say, you know, community college, and I love them, bless their hearts. Do they do well with this?
Right.
I know they
not all are built. The same, not all funded the same, but they exist. And I think some of the work that I do, because again, we're not really here to recruit kids to Landmark necessarily.
Sure.
If that's the right fit for them, if that's what would meet their needs the best, of course, we're going to mention that. And there's a few other schools that kind of could sort of show, you know,
yeah,
kind of
a mess.
Reach what
talk
Landmark
about
so, but,
that. But what I'm,
yeah,
I'm talking
but what I'm trying
about,
to,
wait a minute, let me change my
yeah,
question.
Yeah.
Are you guys
sure.
working with community college educators, okay, to make them aware of what's coming down the pike for them with these kids who are neurodiverse and how they have to treat them and teach them differently. Okay, that's what I'm
We're
asking.
Not having that level. We're not having that level of consultation with them. What we are doing is helping the individual think through how they're going to have to access those services, and then beyond what those services are going to be able to provide, what do those conversations need to have at a one-to-one level with professors? Because often a disability office will have protocols in place, but the student has to choose to want to engage with the office. The student has to feel as if they, you know, have, you know, agency and have some comfort in advocating for what their learning needs might be around their neurodiversity. And that takes a lot of time, and that takes a lot of, you know, so there's a lot of work that I do with individuals just to decide to access the services of the office. Then they have to decide if they're going to, once connected to that office, are they going to follow protocols or even have some of those, build some of those relationships and bridges with their, with the educators they're coming in contact with. And you know, I think some schools, you know, some schools are more up to date with being more aware, sensitive to the neurodiverse needs of their students. And
oh,
there's
yeah.
many,
I agree with
as
that.
as you're alluding to, that are not in any way ready or prepared or even up for training or changing the design of their learning. So then that goes into back to if the individual has experiences with Landmark, there's a lot they can understand from if things are designed in a way that really kind of like takes into account learning, universal design for learning, you know, there's a lot they can learn from that structure and then try to transfer it to another type of school system. Again, because Landmark's great, and Landmark's expanded over the years
so much.
Now they're offering four-year degrees, but there's a lot of students that, you know, even when they go to Landmark, then still want to go and, you know,
receive
the particular four-year degree at another university. But there's a lot that can be learned from, like, when something's designed really properly.
Exactly.
So they can understand themselves in tandem as they learn. So when they're in an environment that's maybe not as conducive to their learning needs, they have also other experiences to draw upon. That's, you know, that's beyond maybe
that's
what, again, I'm not always.
Yes, that's a key point. And Landmark and you guys are part of Landmark, okay, help them to learn how to advocate for themselves. Okay, I love
Absolutely.
That. You know,
yeah,
and wherever
absolutely.
They wind up, okay, kids transfer colleges
right.
all the time. That's, you know, kids transfer into Landmark College as well as that. Let me ask you this. If I'm a student or I have a student, let's just say Nebraska or something, high school senior just starting out, okay. Can they get in touch with you guys? Can you work with someone in Nebraska, or do they have to be
absolutely.
Out in California?
Oh, no, absolutely. We're working with folks locally in the area, and I work with folks all around the country. We even had a client that was in another country, so we're very open to – yeah. We had
that's
a student that was, like,
important.
Down the street from us, and then they relocated to another country, and were working with us.
Did they relocate to Mexico, Canada? Where'd they go?
They relocated to the Philippines.
The Philippines,
yeah.
even further.
The Philippines. Yeah, but no, we work with out-of-state clients in terms of us being based in California. We definitely, you know, are up for and are having people finding us and wanting to connect with us. Right, because, you know, you are really familiar with the Landmark College and all the wonderful support on the campus. We're sort of like the first satellite or essentially kind of remote extension of an experience of that level of individualized support that's being offered outside of the campus environment and outside of Putney.
It's cool.
So, yeah. It's great.
And, you know, I'll ask you this, and I'll ask Sandra, okay, this is a good question. I'm going to ask Sarah the same thing, which is a funny question. What are you? Now, I know you're the regional director for online programs at Bay Area Success Center for Landmark EDU, but what are you?
Yeah.
What are you trained as? If I'm just curious.
What do I do?
Yeah, what are you?
What do I do all day?
No.
Oh, my background.
Peter wants to know that. That's for Peter. Okay, the president. Okay, but I want to know what's your background. I'm just really curious. It's fun.
So
like, how'd you learn to do all this stuff you're doing?
Well, this is a culmination of many different paths that I've taken. So,
that's okay.
It's been a lot of fun. What I do now, of course, is oversee the outreach and operations of the Success Center, and so that's sort of
exactly.
what I do now. But what led me to this point? So, I had a previous career in bank management for several years, almost 20 years, and then switched careers. I decided to make
Good.
A change and went back to graduate
Good.
School and got my master's in educational counseling and
wow.
worked
there
actually for an online program manager in student support, and then went on to become the academic affairs director. The director of academic affairs, which meant I worked with faculty and had a team of people that worked with faculty for several different partners. So that was my initial experience into the operations of education. And so my experience with banking and with the online program manager is really what brought me to Landmark College. And the online program manager is exactly that. All the programs we offered were online. So that experience is what made it appropriate to bring me to Landmark College.
They hire well, the Landmark College. I got to tell you, they hire well. Okay, and what you said actually is so important, and I only wish more teachers would do this. Okay, I wish more people would come into teaching from other professions, because that puts a whole different perspective. Okay, on what they're doing with the kids, et cetera. And I love teachers. Please don't misunderstand that. But I just think it's important. What's your background, Sarah? I love the way you came out of banking. What's yours, Sarah?
I came more from the on the social service sort of mental health side. I worked a lot, in some academic advising. I did traditional like athletic coaching. I ran after school programs, and then I eventually kind of got more involved in working with kids in group homes and in the foster care system. So for a period of time, I worked for a mental health social service nonprofit, and then I relocated from California to New York, and I did all kinds of odd jobs. One of my favorites was dog walking, but I worked a lot in food service and different kinds of things, and then I was actually kind of toggling between going into working for the New York Public Library. I'm a big I love literacy, and I love working with people
like
and learning how to read.
Yeah.
And then I actually took the New York Teaching Fellows up on their offer, and I got a master's in special education, and I was a public school teacher in New York City for 10 years. And then since then, I've now kind of
moved to heaven. Believe me.
Some really great years, really great students.
They really do.
I worked at a really wonderful alternative high school on the Upper West Side that's kind of has a very soft place in my heart. So I worked a lot with 17 to 21-year-olds there. But then I've moved kind of since.
You know, I got news for you.
My
fire sign lives at 118th in Riverside. Okay, Upper West Side.
Yeah.
There you go.
It used to be like LaSalle and Broadway, like right below him, about like eight blocks or so. So now I'm like doing the specialized coaching, and I've even started working with teachers in the field. I've been connected at times to doing clinical field work for folks that are candidates coming into special education and giving them support and mentorship.
Wonderful.
So that's also another really cool facet of learning, right? Not just about what the students need for learning, but like where are the teachers at in their own understanding of themselves as learners and how to think about that so they can think also how to design for the students in their class. Got a master's in education. Yeah.
You guys bring great backgrounds to what you're doing. I got to tell you, and I have one other question here. You were on the Upper West Side of New York, so was my friend Stu.
Mm-hmm.
Another Firestein, same. You say tomato, tomato. Okay, you call it a gaggle of geese and a parliament of owls.
Uh-huh.
What do you call it when there's like groupings of Firestein? So what is their name for that? Just curious. I'm going to send this to laugh.
A good time.
Yeah,
and
you're a Firestein, not a Firestein.
Yeah,
you know,
we're Firesteins. A lot of us are Brooklyn-based, so maybe, we're
he's
Mets
Philly.
Fans.
He's Philly like me. He's Philly.
Are you Philly? Okay, I wasn't
I'm
sure.
I'm from Philly.
Yeah.
Why?
I wasn't sure where you were from the East Coast. You said you're based in Maine, but I was like,
I am. We live in Maine
from
now.
A little further south of Maine.
we live in Maine now, but we're both from Philly. Me and my wife are both from Philly
area,
as is Dr. Firestein, I might add, originally.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I just want to go down one other thing before we leave. What is the typical student? Okay, has what a neurodiverse need, autism, what are you really dealing with? And I think that's important.
I feel like that's a trick question because we really don't have a typical. We really get some very interesting complex learners. But a lot of our folks have ADHD. There's a lot of folks that we work with that are on the spectrum. We have a group of clients that come to us that are twice exceptional, right? So they're contending with all these special gifts and high intellectual, traits. And then they're also kind of contending with these language-based learning needs. So a lot of our clients have dyslexia, dysgraphia. Some that I work with have dyscalculia. And then, of course, some of them are having all of those things happening at once in terms of their learning profile. But
what
we have
the
a
third
lot
one?
Of
dyscalculia
is a language-based learning disability that affects math and your number sense and how you relate to numbers and your spatial orientation and that type of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, Is there anything else you want me to? Is there anything else you want me to say about our typical learner? Because we have very kind of unique learners that come to us.
Actually, that's actually funny the way I said that, because you know the whole point is you don't have typical learners.
Yeah,
you have kids who are neurodiverse.
Exactly.
But I meant amongst them, you take the neurodiverse as a group. Okay, of the kids you're dealing with, one of the most typical things that you deal with. Because typical was not a good way to put that. You know, and as you do this, and of course this has to be anecdotal, okay? Because there's no measure of this. We don't even know what the kids' goals are. How's the? I'll just ask it this way, but it has to be defined. How's the success rate? Okay, in terms of when you look at the people you're working with, how's the success rate on that? However you define success, I don't care how you define it.
Yeah, again, everyone's at different places, but I think in terms of how we are collaborating to just continue working on goals, the fact that this is hard work that they're doing, right? They're trying to learn how to – a lot of them are working on executive function skills, so they're trying to really work on planning and consistency and organizing themselves, their thoughts, right? So the showing up, the consistently showing up, I think, one, just coming to engage and try to address the goal work that they're working on is a huge thing, because some of them have been avoiding it for years and years. So that in of itself, just taking that step to say, hey, I am going to need some help. You're a resource.
Boy,
can you help me
huge.
With this? And then we go through the roller coaster of how that looks. But then, you know, there's other measures where it's like, you know, I have clients that are now passing most of their classes, whereas before they were hardly able to manage maybe one or two
of
them.
That's a great measure of success. That's a great measure.
And then there's others where it's like the self-advocacy and the willingness to start checking their email and communicate with their teachers or try new assistive technologies that before maybe if they didn't have a full understanding of why people kept recommending certain types of tools, they're now wanting to explore because they're seeing some benefit, or again, they feel more connected to a school or work-related goal that gives them a purpose to try something that maybe was before maybe scary or intimidating in some way. So all of this is just the willingness to try to put themselves out there and just work through whatever the barriers are. So I'm proud of all
that's
the clients. Yeah, each of them are quite different places. But, each of them have their own levels of success. And, again, just showing up is the first big step. Sam, did you want to add anything to that? I don't know. I feel like you might have another perspective, too.
No, I think that's an excellent perspective. You know, I feel pretty fortunate that clients will share with us more directly their experience in working with Sarah, and you know, just saying. In fact, the one that resonated the most with me was a parent that said, she said, "I am so glad we found you," and that alone told me
that
there's success there. And so that's among many comments that we've received. And when there's relief from a parent, when there is a sense of accomplishment from the clients, that's success. And we have clients that continue as well. They may have started last fall and they continue through spring, or they start in spring and they continue through summer because they believe they are benefiting from the experience. And so that shows success as well.
The measure of success. It's true. Ladies, you're wonderful. Thank you for laughing at all my stupid jokes. I appreciate it. Even that one.
Pleasure to be here.
Well,
it was
Sandy and
truly
Sarah,
a pleasure.
SF1 and SF2, I can't thank you both enough for being here. Okay?
Oh,
you're doing a great job out there. You really are. And Landmark is a terrific school. And you know that to carry that out to California. Okay, and making it work, and for everybody, really. I mean, I just think it's really good. You should be really proud of yourselves. Okay? Really proud
of
yourselves.
We
are really happy. Yes, thank you very much for having us. This was a lot of fun.
No problem. I assume the rest of the day, if you're out there in California, you'll be skin diving for abalone, okay, off Big Sur. Would that be correct? Absolutely,
and we're all going to have a bowl of we're all going to have a bowl of clam chowder afterwards. You got it.
We do that here. That's what we do every day: a big bowl of clam chowder. The giant.
I love that.
It's amazing. So enjoy your abalone. Really, it's just wonderful. Thank you, ladies. You're great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Larry.
Again.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Yeah, you too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
It's the Sandy and Sarah show. Fischler and Firestein. Okay. landmark.edu/successcenter. And teachers, go there. If you have kids who are neurodiverse, you have them in your classroom. Okay. This is going to help. And check out landmark.edu. Okay. And that's really a good school. All right. And in a beautiful place, I might add. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Check out everything we do over there. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.